Hello, this is Mike Swanson of WallStreetWinner.com. I'm speaking with a good friend of mine. I'm speaking with Olivier Tischendorf, who runs the Tischendorf Letter. You can find it at Tischendorf.com. I have a link to that at the bottom of this interview when I post it on the website. How are you doing today?
Great, Mike.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've spoken, and for people who don't remember, you're based in Germany. You're a technical trader. I follow your work on your website and on Twitter, and you're one of the people, frankly, that I find most interesting to read when it comes to figuring out what's really happening in the markets. I actually do follow a mix of different opinions. I follow people who are always bullish no matter what, just to get an idea of what they're thinking, and also I follow bearish people, but you're someone who really adapts to whatever the market is doing.
Yes, that's actually the definition of technical trading. You know, I do what the charts tell me to do, and sometimes the charts are bullish, then it's the time to be bullish, and when they're bearish, as you said, I adapt and I change my mind.
Well, I'd like to use these principles of technical analysis and how you apply them to look at, let's say, three charts today, and start with Apple, because Apple is actually one of the most popular stocks traded in the United States. I'm looking at stockcharts.com. They have a list of the most typed in tickers today. Apple is the first ticker right there. And you did a recent article on Apple. So I'm curious, when you look at the chart of Apple, what do you see in it?
Well, I mean, if you go to my website and you open the annotated chart, it's a bearish head and shoulders pattern, which is spanning. I mean, it's a long term pattern in this case. It's almost 2 years, and it's now exerting pressure on the stock. That means we have downside targets of, let's say, below 80. We're now trading at roughly 96. From a purely technical perspective, the stock should go lower. And the way to compute these targets, you can see it on the chart, on the chart annotation.
Well, how much lower do you think Apple could go by your targets?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's trading around 95, 96 right now, and I think it will most likely go down to 80 or 75.
Well, when you look, what are if you just look at the Apple chart, what's the simplest way to tell if it's in a bull trend or a bear trend, or what the big trend of Apple really is?
Well, that's not the, you know, this is not a prediction for the next 10 years or something like that. It's just what the chart is telling me right now. And again, if the technicals change, I do change my mind. But to answer your question, for most people, I mean, most people should just plot a moving average 200 into the chart. That's the one in yellow in my chart. And when price is trading above that moving average, we are by definition in a bull market. And when price trades below that long-term moving average, then it's a bear market. Doesn't mean a stock goes to zero or the downtrend is gonna last forever. But as long as price is trading below the moving average 200, a quote I'm using all the time is, in downtrends, surprise moves tend to be to the downside. That means the surprise moves happen in the direction of the trend.
Well, I think that's certainly the case with Apple, because Apple went up from like $70 to $130 or so last year, in the first half of last year. so many people have Apple iPhones or Macintoshes. It's one of the most loved companies in the world. And when it was at 130 last summer, it was hard to imagine that it could do what it's done and fall like this, but it fell below the 200-day moving average in August and went back up to it and failed to really rally above it. And now it seems like we're back below it again. Yeah.
You bring up a good point when you talk about this failed move above the moving average 200. The failed move occurred in November 2015, and at this point in time, and this is the second important thing about moving average 200, about those moving averages, the moving average 200 was flattening out. So this was not not a good good sign. So you want price to trade above the moving average 200, and ideally you want the moving average 200 to be trending to the upside.
Right. Well, let's flip to Tesla, which is another chart that you recently posted on your website. I was looking at this today because it's kind of interesting because it is below the 200-day moving average too, but it doesn't look like it's as far. It hasn't been below it for as long as Apple has. And the moving average is kind of going more sideways. And it looks like the drop in Tesla really just took place from January till, or from December to January. And it's having a big bounce. It's really getting people excited about it because it too is one of the most popular tickers today on stock charts. In fact, Tesla stock is up 4.55%. It's only 10 points away from the 50-day moving average. So I think there's probably a lot of people buying it and chasing it that are a little bit more hopeful about it.
Yeah, the thing is, the it just started to break down. So again, from a purely technical perspective, if Tesla goes lower, and I think it will, this should only be the beginning of the down move. That is, we had the break below the neckline in blue, if you're referring to my chart on my website, and this is moving up in bearish wedge. This is a bearish wedge right now, and you see all the moving averages are starting to decline and trending down. They will be resistance, and I mean, we will have to wait and see if it can reclaim the moving average 200. But right now, the moving average 200 is starting to trend lower, so this is You don't want to go long. You know, it's in bear markets, it's basically you are either short or in cash. So there's nothing wrong with staying in cash, standing aside, because ultimately you want to avoid losing money. And as long as you don't lose money in specifically in a stock you have fallen in love with, and that's the problem most people have, you know, they buy Tesla or Apple, they fall in love with the stock and they never sell, and then then a bear market develops and they ride it down. You know, this is something you absolutely want to avoid. And if Tesla were to make new all-time highs, you will see it on the chart, but don't be too early. That's what I would suggest. So right now I would stay away from that one.
Okay, well, let's flip to the mining stocks, because before we talk about them, I want to make the point that I've spoken to you over the past couple of years, particularly in 2013 and 2014, and during those interviews, we spoke about mining stocks, and you were bearish on them, correctly so. They had many false rallies, then ended up going lower. Actually, to me, I'm scared, frankly, that the bounce in Tesla or the bounce in Apple could, and Apple isn't even really bouncing that well, but that they're kind of like trading like a lot of these mining stocks are trading a couple years ago. That kind of, because they were below the 200-day moving averages, and you know, they would have big rallies at times, but they didn't really lead anywhere. And you warned people about this. So I'm curious now, though, if you're at your view of mining stocks has changed, because in January we saw the HUI mining index actually make a new low. It got to 100, but then all of a sudden it just went straight up and up to 170 the other day, which is a huge crazy move up. That's like 70% or something. So you know, well, we've had fake rallies in the past couple of years that fooled me a couple times. So I'm wondering what's your take on them now?
Yeah, that's good that you mention it. I mean, I was really bearish at the time we did our last interviews, and I remember I said that it was too early to get back in and to wait for more confirmation. And when I say more confirmation, you can go back to the interviews. It's all about the price relationship towards the moving average 200. And to answer your question, yes, now things look much better. If you look at the GDX, price has crossed the moving average 200 and is now trading above the moving average 200. The only problem right now is the moving average 200 is not trending up. So it's very early stages. But what is different from when we last spoke is, I mean, the duration of the bear market. So from a purely, you know, from a time perspective, it's about time for the bear market to end because of average durations of bear markets. The second thing, which is different from 2013 and 14, is that we have a separation move away from the moving average 200. That is, we didn't retest the moving average 200 immediately. That means stocks were not struggling with the moving average 200. So it's like, you know, cutting through it like a hot knife through butter. And the more separation you get, the more bullish it is. And for my members, I started a membership website recently. I was highlighting stocks that were moving up but had rising moving averages 200, a rising moving average 200, and that was a safe way to play that, because most of the mining stocks right now, they, you know, it's still too early to decide if it's really something really really big happening, or if it's purely a short squeeze. Personally, I think it's more than a short squeeze. We have especially the junior in the junior mining sector, we have stocks that have increased four or five fold, and it's really hard to see them give back all those gains. So yes, I'm the technical picture is much more constructive. It's too early to call this a new bull market. So from a purely technical perspective, we need more confirmation. And again, I'm expecting a pullback at some point in time, because this is a nonstop run up we've seen over the past, let's say, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And depending on how the stocks will react after the pullback, that will be the time when we can say, okay, if they go higher, if they break out to the upside again, then this is something bigger, and then we can probably label it a new bull market, but it's still too early. The there are positive and constructive signs, but it's still too early. But I'm talking and talking, but
oh, it's good. No, well, I mean, I own GDX. I mean, I'm just say that for disclosure, but I don't want to recommend. I made a Twitter post a couple days ago or this week, and I was being very sarcastic, but Barrick was up like 4% one day. And it had already gone up over 100%. And I put on there, if you're a momentum player, buy Barrick and you'll make money eventually. Because what I was thinking about was so many people just like to buy stocks after they have a big move, especially if they're up a lot in one day. So today, you know, that Tesla shows up as one of the most searched tickers. And it's moved. Tesla has had a big percent bounce over the past week, and a lot of people buy it just because of that. And they don't analyze the chart like you do, right? And understand what the danger is in that. So I was just being sarcastic, thinking, well, people who like to chase, they can chase Barrick, but I wouldn't buy Barrick myself because of what you're saying. You know, it's gone up so much; it'll probably have a pullback. I mean, I don't. At some point or another, and then if it breaks out again, then you know for sure. I would think that would be the confirmation that we need to see. Would there be other things you'd need to see too?
Yes. I mean, it's almost the same observation I wanted to talk about. But I mean, obviously the markets are oversold, so that means stocks like Tesla and Apple and tech stocks can bounce here, and we don't know if this is the end of the bear market in the stock market as well. But going back to the miners, the consolidation period I'm expecting. I mean, one of the reasons is also, I mean, you were talking about Barrick Gold. Barrick Gold has a market cap of roughly 16 billion, and they have 10 billion in debt. So this is not what you want to see with an extremely healthy stock. So the problem is, they will have to do secondary offerings. They will have to sell off assets in order to reduce debt. And we saw that today or yesterday evening, Kinross Gold did a secondary offering. And what I'm expecting is for those beaten down stocks to profit from to use current prices to get access to capital, and that will start the consolidation period. And then, you know, if things really have changed, people will be voting with their wallets, and then the uptrend can resume. But we have to wait until that happens in order to really be bullish.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned secondary offerings, because in 2002, that's when I first got involved with trading gold stocks, and that's actually what happened. There was a big run in gold stocks, or a big move up in 2002, and a lot of them used that to do these secondary offerings, exactly as you're describing. Kinross, I think, was one of them, in fact. So they came out of this, you know, a long downtrend, and these secondary offerings would keep the stocks down for a period of time when they would announce them.
Yeah, I think that's the danger right here, that more stocks will do secondary offerings.
Well, as we wrap up, I'd like to let people know that you have a website, tischendorf.com. You post blog content on there. You have a very active Twitter account with lots of information. You're one of the people I follow on Twitter that I get a lot of out of what you post. And you've been doing this for quite a long time, many years, in fact. However, recently you started something new, and that's a premium membership service. Before that, you were doing everything completely for free. So I was hoping you could explain why you made this shift and what people get when they join.
Well, I decided to devote more time for subscribers, and that's the reason why I launched this premium service. And actually, it's very easy to access from my website. You can click on the orange tab, and that will lead you to my membership website. And there's a free sample issues section where you can see what you get. And my goal is to educate people on technical analysis. So I cover the markets, I cover new trends, I make sure they don't get killed in bear markets, and that we profit from new sectors moving up, new leading stocks. As you said, I've been doing this for 17 years now. I've been trading for 17 years, so it's my way to pass on my experience in the markets.
Well, one thing too that you offer, which is really unique, along with the pay membership, you also are offering private 1 hour long coaching consultations through Skype, where you'll go through individual stock patterns of people. And help them set up trading systems, their actual setup, their charting setups and software, and really help people one-on-one, which frankly that's something that, you know, a lot of people probably could use that really isn't offered anywhere else.
Well, thanks for mentioning that one. I do what customers want. So basically a good starting point would be to do historical trade reviews, you know, people analyzing past trades, and then analyzing what the mistakes were and how to change in the future, and you know, to point out strengths and weaknesses of different approaches. Yeah, and actually, you know, I share my screen, so you see the chart, and then I go through the chart with people, and then they can see it in real time. I mean, not in real time, but you know, they can see what I'm seeing, and then we go through the different chart patterns, or we analyze the charts depending on the customer's need.
Well, that's great. Well, as we wrap up, do you have any other last thoughts you'd like to add?
Well, no. actually, we've covered everything.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't think of anything either. That's why I asked it.
No, I mean, as we said, I mean, it would be nice if we did this on a regular basis, because I think that would be good for people to know if there's new developments either in the gold market or other new trends, and then, you know, comment on those new trends developing.
Yeah, definitely. And this is frankly a much more interesting year, eventful year than last year was. I think most markets here didn't really do much. You know, they were pretty much range bound. And now, all of a sudden, there are big moves happening. You know, we had a big move in January, and now we're having this bounce that's really exciting people. And, of course, this gold thing took off, too. So I think this is going to be a year where a lot of stuff does go on, and it'll be great to touch base with you and see what you're thinking about, too, as things unfold from here.
Yeah, anytime. And thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Talk later.